Welcome back, y'all. It's Trent, Rural Route to the program. And as I mentioned in my opener, we're going to go back to where I was 1 week ago in Grant County, Nebraska, in the heart of the fire damage. Matt Cover giving us the lay of the land.
Yeah, so this was a family's place that my wife and I just got bought here actually within the last couple months. And we just got moved up here, and we've really battled these fires here the last couple weeks. It's been a challenge. Kind of the biggest thing right now that everyone's seeing is just we're kind of tired of just the anxiety and you know, we're living on edge. You know, we just
can't. I think that sentence could have stopped with "we're kind of tired."
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be really tired.
Yeah. No, we're tired of living on edge, and it's just a matter of we've got a lot in our day-to-day going right now. Everybody in our part of the world's calving up here, and we just kind of all need to get back to business.
What are we doing today?
Today we're bangsing some fall heifers, some registered fall heifers that we needed to get
there. For our non-cattle folks, that would be vaccinating for brucellosis to protect them and to build immunity against brucellosis.
Yep. Yep. So we're running these heifers through just a small group to get banged so we can get them started set up to breed. It won't be until this coming fall, but we're a little early on it, but trying to be proactive. And we had to re-semen check a bull and just kind of getting back to some day-to-day.
How much of a relief is that mentally to just be doing cattle work instead of focusing on everything else?
Yeah, it is refreshing. To kind of just get to the day-to-day stuff, you know, what you're used to doing back into your routine. The problem that we're finding, though, is that, you know, that paranoia, you know, as we're doing our day-to-day, you find yourself, you know, you've scanned the horizon, you glance at the horizon, or you catch something out of the corner of your eye, and, you know, at any given point in time, right now with the wind we've been dealing with, that moral fire could happen again any day given the conditions we've got right now.
So a guy named Travis Wenzel, I'm sure you don't know him, from Arthur, Nebraska, he told me that these last set of fires were set by dry lights.
Yep, correct. So that would have been two nights ago now, 11 o'clock at night. Our son John, he's terrified of thunder, and he was at our door screaming, and got him put back to bed. And I was needing to check heifers anyway, so I thought, well, I'm gonna step out and check heifers. And as soon as I stepped out the door, I could see off to the southwest a glow. And so I called 911, and then I started calling those guys on the Heart of the Hills fire department that way to get everybody going. And so that it was just a moment you don't forget. It just makes your heart absolutely drop. So give it 5-10 minutes, we get to looking around, and there's three different fires here within 10 miles of this. So the closest one, basically just a mile over the hill, just straight south by us. So that was 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, give it 10 hours, and in a matter of 10 hours, we'd burnt pushing on another 100,000 acres locally here.
I reported on radio yesterday 80,000, so I'm glad I didn't embellish. I was all sort.
Well, I hope we're done rounding up.
We're done.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me. By the way, it's kind of like the rest of me being home. You're standing here talking to me, and your wife's doing all the work. That's kind of like a lie.
That's exactly right.
But it just dawned on me as you're walking through this. Your wife, Sarah, is from Oshkosh.
Yep.
Her family's cattle operation is in Oshkosh.
Yep.
Not that anybody's ever heard of Van Newkirk's Hereford cattle.
Yeah.
But that's the southern end of what the fire region has been, and you guys are on the northern end.
Yeah.
You got it contained.
Yeah, you know, it's really hit a lot of us in this whole region, you know, and to start from north of Angora, north of Bridgeport, and go all the way to Highway 6 Jordan, you know, it touches a lot of people there. A large amount of family operations. And one thing, Trent, you're well aware of is that this 700,000 acres or whatever the moral fire was and counting now, you know, this is all deeded ground, you know, other than the Crescent Lake area. But you know, we're dealing with family operations that make their sole living off of this land. You know, when we get to the West, the big fires, California, Wyoming, Colorado, you name it, you know, that a lot of those fires are BLM, Forest Service, and they're inaccessible. And when those fires can reach, say, 1 million acres, they do it over the course of weeks. This happened in a matter of about 3-4 days.
It's interesting you bring that up in that manner, because all of my friends West who run on BLM land, and BLM mismanaged that has led to those fires that you're talking about out there.
Yeah.
So all of them automatically ask, why aren't you guys grazing right? You should. These fires, we did have last year at my place, we had double our normal precipitation, which means we had extra growth, and we have probably more cover in March than normal, so there's more fuel for fire. But there's no absence of grazing.
Yeah.
It's just, it was the ideal conditions with the wind speed, the humidity,
yeah,
the temperatures, March temperatures where they are.
Yeah.
And then you have situations like electric poles breaking. It's just like all the stars lined up to be dead.
That's right. That's right. And given such the, you know, we all know that we're really short on snow this winter, and you know, essentially kind of non-existent, didn't really do anything for us, but yeah, the conditions aligned to be set up for a disaster.
Let's back up a minute, because I did not remember, although I remember the time, this was a tornado alley.
Yeah,
a year ago.
Yeah, so this place we've seen, we're still looking at a bit of a mess. So it'd been the end of April last year. We had
a number one helper here.
Yep. You say hi, John. Say hi. I'm
John. Hi, John. I'm Trent.
So yeah, it's been the end of April. It had been the end of April last year. We had tornado come through here in pretty good size. And our part of the Santos, we don't have tornadoes. And to be the size that it was, pretty profound. It was 1.25 miles wide when it occurred. When we came into this valley,
there was a house right there.
Yeah. So to begin with, pulling in the yard here, it took the airplane hangar and turned it to splinters. And then as you come in, there's two of the main houses that it had not totally wiped out, but dang sure needed new homes put on them. And so we're just kind of getting back to going and getting buildings put on these foundations. So we'll have two houses put back there. The big steel shop was flattened, and many other outbuildings, specifically even where we're standing. And so that was the end of April last year. And, you know, fast forward to now, the rest of all the people that came and helped us rebuild, you know, all of those people are facing a totally new disaster themselves. So, and the problem when that tornado had hit here, end of April, we're in our busy season right then. We're towards the end of calving, but we're getting ready to brand and thinking about getting cattle bred and you name it. Right now, dealing with everyone, we fight fires for 2, 3, 4 days in a row and all night, and then guys will have to get home and night key, and guys will have to get home and kind of take care of their stuff.
There's never a good time to fight a fire, but at calving season is kind of like the worst time ever.
Yeah, for sure.
I know you didn't pick it.
But that's right.
I just want everybody to understand, it's an exciting time, and it's my favorite time. I'm driving through the Sandhills seeing baby calves out there. It's my favorite time. We don't start calving until April 20th, we think. And to take time away and then to see some of those perish.
Yeah.
How mentally tough is that?
Yeah, you know, matter of timing wise, a lot of these fires, all of us have been pretty lucky here locally, because, you know, in we get to the Morrill fire that was south and it ended up southwest of us. A lot of those places that we were fighting fire on, didn't see on a lot of those places, didn't see large cattle losses, simply because guys had them close up to their house or getting ready to calve. Most of them didn't even have calves on the ground yet. Yes, there were some calves on the ground in places, but, you know, pretty lucky to have them cattle up close rather than out in on winter pastures or places that they could get in the bad spot.
One thing I want to address, and then maybe we can go look at some fire damage. When you're in the genetics business, the loss of a cow is a loss of a cow. It's never acceptable. But when you're in the genetics business, you are building generations. You're stacking generations of all of these traits that you want. And to lose any percent of cows from any type of weather event, I mean, I think of Atlas storm in South Dakota. So many cattle were lost. And when you lose those generations you've been stacking, you don't just go replace them.
Yeah, you know, and we all know how long it takes for things to come to fruition in ag. Some of us are better with patience than others. I don't necessarily have that quality, but we, ag forces us to be patient. We have to let those things come to fruition. And yeah, the genetics is the epitome of that. That you have to build upon last year's crop, and you have to continually improve. So to lose any segment of your genetics there is a big thing for us. Something as far as cattle numbers, you know, we hear and we see and we know herd reduction this and herd reduction that, and with the cow herd at 27, 28 million, or the beef cow herd anyways, that's a real low number with it. And those numbers don't lie. We all know that. But as far as the state of Nebraska, or essentially the Sand Hills as a whole, we've been immune from that herd reduction, you know, and I think I'm comfortable in saying that almost everyone in the state of Nebraska has been running at 90 to 100% of their cow herd until, you know, these fires out here locally really change things. You know, like I said, we've been immune from herd reduction, and so that's a big thing. And you know, in the Sand Hills here, yes, we are a blip in the overall cattle herd numbers, but there's not a place on earth that has better quality.
Which is why we call it proudly the beef state. And we do have 6 million total head of cattle. It's just we're not number one in cow-calf. I think we're number three right now, but we do have three top counties. And this doesn't happen to be one of them. All right, we got to break in here. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with more Matt Cover from Ashby, north. Where did that come from? North of Oshkosh, Nebraska. Back with more Matt after this.
Welcome to Arrowhead Clean.